Today I have a message for both the young and old, holding on to Christ as we change in a changing world. Teenagers, you're changing because you're growing and maturing and you're learning different things you didn't know before, a lot of things you need to know. And meanwhile, this world is changing. Sadly, there's two kinds of change. There's change just general, and then there's change for the worse. And it's hard to know which is which. Everything is changing, and to a teenager, they might think, well, why not embrace it? Why not accept it? Everybody else is. But then also, which probably is the better part of this class, we all are changing as adults. We get older, we change. You think you just get old, which is true. but also, there's some deep changes that are typical across all cultures that we just need to be in touch with that have some impact on how and what Jesus cautioned us about. That he was the rock and we should build our lives on him. Because if everything's changing, we're changing, the world changing, we need something stable. We need to know what's true, what's right. And Jesus is what's true and what's right. The gospel is what's true and what's right. So what Jesus says is, I'm the rock. And as the winds of life and the rains of life beat up on you, you know that what I represent is true, just, and reliable. Because how could God be reliable if he's changing too? If you're changing, the world is changing, and God is changing, you won't know who to be. You won't even know who you are. And so God, the word, is immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ, Hebrews tells us, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can rely on that. So I'm going to ask Diamond to come forward and read Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. You're going to hear straight from the Christ.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
Jesus taught as one who had authority. In other words, someone knew what he was talking about. He was speaking from experience and knowledge, not just the teachers of the law who may be quoting somebody or throwing a principle, an idea, an abstraction out there. Jesus said, this is true. You can't rely on me. I'm a rock. And that's what never changed. That was true when he said it's true now. So as you grow up, as you mature, as we age, we have to realize the world that we're changing today in America is becoming very un-Christian. Some basic things about self, about safety, about using the bathroom, about marriage, about sexuality, about finances, about loyalty, is radically changing away from what Scripture has taught us, what Jesus has taught us. And so it's important for us to know Christ as we change in a world that's changing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's look at this next graphic, because this gives us a picture. If you look at growing up or aging as the sun's heat, then put ourselves here. You can have a life of stone, that is, your life is rooted in the rock of Jesus, in the world's bowl made of wax. So this, imagine the sun's heat, you are a rock, and America is like a bowl of wax. You know what? That's salvation, because the bowl is going to do what?
Melt
away. And as a rock, what are you going to do? You can still be a rock. That's the picture of salvation. The scripture that Diamond read, that's the imagery. Because aging, the sun beating, life beating upon us and weighing on us, is what happens to us. Circumstances we get into, trouble, opportunity, all these things hit and try to change us. Or what if your life was like butter in the world's bowl made of wax? Well, the first one is salvation. That's what Jesus said. The second one is assimilation. When you're changing and the world's changing, because when the heat of aging hits the world, it begins to not be as structured and solid anymore. It begins to get soft and pliable and begins to change what it's about. And if your life is made of butter, you're going to start changing what you are about. And then eventually what's happened? The butter and the wax is going to mix together. Well, today, butter and wax is mixed together. Get that cheap stuff. But you see what I'm saying? How the butter of your life and the wax of this world, as you age, it can cause you to blend in with the world, and there's no, both of you are changing, and whatever you become, that's what you become. Whatever the shape of the floor or the counter or whatever is in, that's the shape you're going to take. Well, if you're a life of the rock, the shape you're going to have is the shape of the rock. And Jesus is that rock. But if your life is butter and the heat of aging change, the heat of maturity, the heat of growing up, those experiences in you that change you, and the whirlwind is changing, you're going to assimilate, which means you're going to mix in, and you're not going to be able to tell any difference between you and the world, because some of the wax is going to get in your butter, some of your butter is going to get in the wax, and no one's going to tell any difference from you or any worldly person. That's not what God wants. God does not want us to assimilate the world, because we are in the world, but not of the world, right? Only way you cannot be of something is not to be able to mix with it. And that's why we had that first one. And then this third one, decimation. You have a life of butter in the world's bowl made of stone. So let's say we live in a world that was solid and structured, which it will be in terms of its hate for Jesus. When it gets entrenched that we no longer tolerate teachings of Christianity. We no longer tolerate churches and Jesus. So the world can be solid in that. Right now it's still loosey-goosey, but at some point the world is going to be firm about this Jesus stuff and be totally against it. But if your life is butter in that kind of world, you're going to melt and you're going to take the shape that the world, shape of the bowl. You can become what the world wants you to become. And that's called decimation, which means you no longer have the identity that God wants you to have. You're going to take the identity of the bowl, the identity of the world, because the world is structured. Now, the last one is where the first century church was. Those were Christians who had a life of stone in a world bowl made of stone. So this world in the first century church, they didn't want to hear nothing about this Jesus. They were persecuting, they were killing Christians, and they hated Christians. Well, the Christians in the first century, who maybe was one generation away from witnesses who seen with Jesus, walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, or even themselves seen Jesus, they knew the truth of the gospel. I done, Jalen. They knew the truth of the gospel. And so they had a life of stone, but they were in a world that was also made of stone against Christianity. That's called confrontation. And God wants us to be a life of stone, whether this world is wax or whether this world is stone. We have to be solid and sure and firm about what we believe. Whether this world is loosey-goosey and willing to mix and willing to change, or whether this world is dead set against us. So I'm going to go through this lesson, and I want you to keep this in mind, because we all are growing. We all are changing, whether we want to admit it or not. And one of the most insightful scriptures from a counseling point of view would be this one, Ecclesiastes 12. Matter of fact, that whole book might be insightful from a counseling point of view. It says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, And the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, when those looking through the window grow dim, when the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. This is profound because of the first part of verse 1, remember your creator in the days of your youth. So if you're changing while life is changing, but you knew Christ as a young person, and as you grow, you have this barometer of what's true and what's right. And so even though you may mature and change, you can see that, okay, this change does not go against the way of Christ. So this change is okay. So as you grow and mature, you adopt different beliefs, and you filter them through what Scripture tells us about Jesus' teachings. Or if the world's changes, you can say, well, this change is not against the biblical worldview. I can use the iPhone rather than the flip phone like Pastor has. That doesn't go against the biblical worldview. And so I can embrace this change. But then there's some changes in the world that you filter and you see that this goes against the Bible's worldview. See, you have scriptural worldview as your filter as you grow up. And so when it says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, that's what it's talking about. So as you grow through life and these changes hit you, whether it be changes in you or changes in the world, you always have this filter through which to determine whether this change is healthy or if it's not. But if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know your creator, then when change happens, your decision is this, whether you like it or not. Oh, I like the way this change feels. I'm going to embrace it. Or I like this new thing in the world. I'm going to embrace it. And there's no sense of whether this is good for you or not, whether this is healthy for your soul or not. See, so if you don't know the Lord in your youth, you have no barometer, you have no filter to determine whether or not this is a change you ought to embrace. And as you grow and become older and your values change, your ideas change, you still need this filter to balance yourself. So what I want to do, I probably won't get past verse 1 today, but I'm going to start. And we're going to look at some of the reasons why, particularly as we grow old, why remembering or knowing Christ when you're young can lead to a healthy life. Check this out. Even if this world of wax melts and goes away, and we're taken over by China, you will still have in you this rock, what's right and wrong. Because we have to remember what it says here. We're going to go to eternity. Our life here is only temporary. So let's look at this statement here. It said, to remember our creator in the days of our youth, before the days of trouble come. Somebody read this in blue.
We mature into adulthood, the quality and the interest during the first half of life change into their opposites during the later half.
That's right. As we mature in adulthood, the qualities and the values that we have and the interests when we were children, teens, even young adults, they kind of flip and the opposites become important in the latter half of our life. Those who, particularly men, who dwell in masculine activities when they were young, become a bit softer and tender as they age. That's just the reality of it. That's a change that's part of a maturity. Those who are more tender in their youth, they tap into their masculine qualities as they age. That's a part of the aging process. And this happens, you know, across cultures. This is part of human development. It's not, you know, specific to America. Men become less concerned as we age about achievements and more concerned about relationships and social responsibility. It flips. Either you got those accomplishments and they really didn't do much for you and you wanted to focus on something more genuine, or you never did get those accomplishments, but then you see the people who got them in the same situation you were in and you say, man, those accomplishments would have never done anything for me anyway. Women who have engineered the home for a family when they were younger, when they get older, they're more interested in achievements and less concerned about relationships. It flips. It can cause some marital problems if we're unaware of what goes on. But that's part of human development. And even from the teenagers through young adulthood, the concern then was work, family, success, and just fitting in. But as we mature into adults, we're more concerned about the inner meaning of things, the deeper meaning of things, more concerned about spiritual things, more concerned about our relationship with God. It kind of takes the opposite as we grow. Now, the important thing, if we know our Creator in our youth, we have that as a filter, as a lighthouse, as a beacon of where we ought to be and where we ought to go. And we know when we're veering off too far in either direction. The first half of our life, the questions are, what's right and how should I act? During the second half of our life, the questions are, why be moral? Why even live? I mean, what does that accomplish? I mean, what does that do for me? So, okay, so what, I acted right and I did what was right. What does that mean? I'm not saying that you're against that, but those are the questions that will cross your mind. And so it's, now, when we're unaware of this, it causes marital problems. But I once heard somebody also say that to live in the latter years of our life the way we lived in the former years of our life brings damage to our soul. And hopefully it comes a little clearer when we look at the next slide. But you see, this is important because the world is changing. If it was just us changing and we lived in a holy and just and righteous world, then we can look at the world to see whether we're off track or not. But because the world's changing and we're changing, we need Christ. We need to understand His way to determine whether we're off track or not. And that's why it's so important to remember Christ and to have Him in our youth. And that's so valuable. And you won't know that now, but as you grow, and you fall, you see things fall to the left, fall to the right. You see people veer off, and what happens to their life when they went up against the biblical worldview? You'll say, man, I'm glad I stayed focused. This paid off. I'm glad that I didn't veer off with my friends. Because the friends, without Christ in their life, many of them are making decisions because it felt right. It worked for them or worked for somebody else. And that's how they're making decisions. When we know that not everything that feels good is good, there can be long-term negative consequences. Sometimes there can be immediate negative consequences. But let's dive a little deeper. Here, when we read Ecclesiastes 12, remember it says, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, referring to the youthful years. The time will come when you get my age, maybe a little bit before, where you don't find pleasure in the things that you used to find pleasure in. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. See, when you're young, you're active, you're living in the moment. You're not conscious of much. You're just reacting to things. That's why to live in the latter days of your life as if you were in the former days of your life would do damage to your soul. That'll wear you out, number one. Number two, your bills won't get paid, you'll be kicked out of your house, and your children mad at you, your spouse mad at you, you don't have no peace. And if you're not take conscious of much, you're breaking hearts, you're not being responsible. So we can see that if we live like that, in the latter years, it would do damage to our soul. That's why growing up is so important. Now, if you look at life to be like the rising sun, if you look at life as being like the sun, how it comes up in the morning, you got high noon, and then it comes down in the evening. If you look at life that way, that when we're young, life was like the sun rising. But when we age, life is like the sun going down, and we begin to see our shadow. That helps this opposite effect. We begin to see our shadow. We know it's evening. You know, our days are numbered. We find no pleasure in what seemed important in the first half of our life. You know, first half of life, we just want some me time. We just want to chill, or like Marquise say, just being casual. When we begin to see our shadow, we know the days are numbered. We know we better not chill. We've got stuff to do. And so the thing is, we find no pleasure in what seems so important in the first half of our life. We begin to realize our limitations. We realize we're finite. In other words, man, God only gave me 70 years and I'm 65. When you're young, you don't even think about old age. But you begin to see that you're finite. You begin to see that you're mortal. Because starting at the age of 30, your body begins to lose muscle. You begin to waste away protein. And you find out you're imperfect. All those things you wanted to change about you, 90% of them didn't change. And you find out you are imperfect, and you, even though you tried to change, you know they were wrong. You made that good college try, and it didn't change. You're in touch with your limitations. That's when the reversal of ideas and values begin to occur. That's when you move from being concerned about yourself to be concerned about things that are more virtuous, social justice, and the interdependency of all humanity. So being grounded on the rock of Jesus will keep us from veering too far when this happens. Anybody remember Solomon at the end of his life? What was typical? Remember, it said Solomon was the wisest man ever. Jesus said that. He's talking about in his prime. What was Solomon like towards the end of his life? He began to allow his wives and the concubines bring their idols into the Lord's temple and worship them. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, or is it the reverse? I don't know. Either one is just too much for me to even imagine. But he allowed married women from strange lands, and he allowed them to bring their idols into the temple. I mean, when we age, the concern changes. What's important changes. We kind of soft, we do this flip, but that's something that a teenager might say, I don't care, what difference does it make what idols she bringing here? But you get old, you soften that way. And that's why it's so important to, as Diamond read, for us to know Jesus as the rock. I remember in 1992, I told Nancy, you know, life and success is overrated. It's just overrated. When I achieved the dreams that I had, and it still didn't satisfy me, so what's next? I mean, the point is, I began to change. Chasing those dreams and attaining them was important when I was young. And as I grew and I had those things, they didn't satisfy what I thought they were going to satisfy. So I said, well, what's the rest of this going to be like? And the problem wasn't that what I wanted failed to fulfill me. The problem was what I expected from them was wrong. Those things weren't intended to provide fulfillment. And so the Lord adjusted my expectation. So when we begin to see our shadow as we age, that's when things begin to change in us and our priorities. And so that's another reason why knowing Christ in your youth was so important. Because even at 60, we already talked about the teenagers, how they're changing and the world is changing. But then here I am in my age, and Don is his age. I wouldn't call Carolyn out, but she's not here. Barb's still a spring chicken. No. But and we have to know Jesus is a rock because we're changing too. And we still have to, as old as we are, we still have to filter what we're going to embrace and how we're going to deal with realizing our finitude and our mortality and imperfections and how we respond to that and how we reverse our ideas and values. We still have to do so in a way that they honor Christ. Just as you, as a teenager, when you embrace things that are new, you have to embrace those things that honor Christ. When we begin to jettison things that are old, get rid of them, and maybe embrace things that are new, we have to do that through the filter of Christ. And that's why it's so important to still have a conversation with the seniors in your life and in your family. Because they're going through the same thing that you're going through, change. Just a different kind of change. But we still have to filter Jesus, all of us still have to filter Jesus in the same way. Oh, it's so precious and important to know Jesus when you're young. When change is all around and you're looking for what to believe in, who to be. God says, if you just follow the way, you will become what I want you to become. There's one thing you can't find in scriptures, who to be. That's why the Bible tells us they follow the way. That's what it was called, the way. If you follow the way, it will lead to where God wants you to be. So it's not that you got to be what's described in the Bible. That's not what it says. We have to be obedient to what's described in the Bible. And the Lord will reveal. When I say Lord reveal it, I'm not talking about He'll reveal it in scripture. He'll reveal it in life. There'll be certain doors that'll be closed to you, and you'll be trying to open. Lord, make sure you don't open that door. There'll be doors that'll be open, and you say, man, I can't open that door. I might as well go through this one. That's what the Lord wants you to go through. But that's the only one left. Depending how much faith and how much we surrender determine how quickly we open the door or how quickly we find the open door and how quickly we go in it. And one opportunity begets another opportunity. And then we find, oh, I didn't know I was good at this. And then begin to find where God wanted you. And He wanted the best for us anyway. So that's why, you know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, if we just follow and be who He wants us to be. So we're back to Diamond's scripture. I'm going to ask Jalen to read it so you can just come forward and read what's up here to refresh our memory. Come on up, Jalen. This is how we open up, and this is how we're going to close, Matthew 7, 24 through 29.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their of the law, not as their teachers of the law.
Amen. Thank you, Jalen. So, teenagers, you need to go easy on us seniors. No. Seniors, go easy on teenagers.
Yep.
We could be a friend and a lighthouse that lights the way. That's what we want. That's what we want to do. We can't compromise. It's like we're telling you not to compromise. We can't compromise. We're going through this together. And so just lift each other up with this. Amen? LaShonda, can you give us a closing prayer? Thank you.